Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is AGLCA and the Blog Talk Radio. Our home port crew is just Janice and me today because Beth is on vacation and Roger's out cruising somewhere. Our guest host today is Jerry Reeves, who was on a month or so ago talking about things you need to know for doing a loop, and today we're going to continue with that because we actually didn't get it all in last time. So as usual, if you would like to ask questions of Jerry, you can call a toll-free number, which is 877-497-1815. We'll be happy to try to answer anything that you want to know. And so I'm going to start with asking Jerry a couple of questions here. And the first one is, how do you know what you'll need in a medical kit, Jerry?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. Actually, the short answer is you don't know, because each individual has one thing happen and none of it's planned. And so you really can't know for sure what you need to take. But on the average extended cruise, things do happen commonly, and they happen to people. And in fact, that's why we're doing our research, to find out for sure what happens. But we've already got enough information to know that certain things are beginning to be commonly seen, and therefore those are the things to be most prepared for. But it's a good chance to remind people to, anytime they have an illness or an injury, they should report it through the Great Loop blog site, members page, and just go ahead and report whatever illness or injury you have, minor or major. They all count, and they will help us know the answer to your question of how to be prepared.
Good. When you're putting a medical kit together for an extended cruise, what kind of preparation do you need?
Well, before you actually start working on putting things together to put on the boat, there's some hints or things that you should do, and one foremost is the things you rely on at home that you know you're going to need every day. Those should be with you, like your prescription medicines, and should take about a 3-month supply plus the prescriptions from your doctor. One of the things we've learned in our cruising is to get him or her to do the prescriptions on a PDF, and then you can print it out anytime you need it, wherever you are, to get it refilled. And you should get it done, of course, at a pharmacy that has chains all over the United States and hopefully in Canada. And so that's what you take, your prescription medicine, and then you should have a little brief medical history, that any emergencies you've had, any operations or chronic medical problems that you have should be listed on that. Especially be sure you've got any allergies you have, and then an up-to-date immunization list. If you have that with you and you do need to go to a doctor, or if you needed to go particularly under emergency conditions, your spouse should be able to just take that sheet or sheets and put them with you and have them with you. And so in the way of preparation, those are the things to do. I would say that they're household items that you ought to take with you, like scales. If you've got hypertension, or even if you don't, you should have blood pressure cuff, thermometer, and things of that kind. Things that you use routinely at home need to be on the boat and should be part of your list of preparatory items before you actually put your kit together.
I forgot to mention this when we opened the show, but Jerry and Jenny are actually doing the loop right now, and you're in Oxford, Maryland, is it?
That's right, beautiful Oxford,
and
pretty place.
So in addition to being an MD, Jerry is an experienced cruiser and doing a loop. So anybody wants to ask questions, call us at 877-497-1815. So what are the essential items for in terms of medicines for an extended cruise, Jerry?
Well, I think every medicine chest, and it doesn't need to be in a special box or anything, but it needs to be where you know it is, should have a number of medicines. The non-prescription or over-the-counter that you can pick up at any grocery store that you need to have on the boat with you are aspirin, Benadryl. Benadryl is one of the more, well, both aspirin and Benadryl, very useful medicines for a lot of different things. We're not going to go into what you use it for, but you should know, and if you don't know, you call and ask me. You need what we call a non-steroidal non-steroidal analgesic, and either Motrin or Tylenol, one of those two should be on the boat. Mylanta is useful. Some indigestion. It's interesting, as you mentioned, Steve, we're on the loop and we're eating some food that we don't ordinarily eat. Crab cakes are good, but, you know, occasionally the frying of them and disagree, and so a little Mylanta to coat that stomach and to help with the indigestion is useful. Sudafed, at some point on an extended cruise, you're going to get stuffiness, and Sudafed helps nasal stuffiness as well as ears. Then Betadine is a very useful, what we call astringent. That means cleansing agent. If you get any kind of cut, you need to wash it off with Betadine. Get a big bottle of that. We use that like water almost. And because there are lots of little cuts that occur along the way. A bottle of saline eyewash is good, or any other eyewash that is more expensive, but saline's the cheapest. Rubbing alcohol, but you should have a large bottle of that. You can use that to clean your windows as well. But the rubbing alcohol, remember when you put it on a cut, open wound, dilute it to about 70%. It's too strong right out the bottle for use. And then some sort of hand sanitizer. And then something I like to have in a wet environment, comes under the medical list, is benzoin. And that's what we used to call, when I was growing up, tough skin. But what that is benzoin, tincture benzoin. You coat that around the unaffected skin, and then the bandages will stick to it. And in a wet environment, that's very important. And then there are prescription items, medicines that you need to have. I've already mentioned you must take all of a 3-month supply of your own prescription medicines, whatever they are. And then you need a good erythromycin-type drug, and these are prescriptions, so your physician would give them to you. But tell them you want an erythromycin-type drug. Zithromax is a good one. And then you need a penicillin-type drug to take with you. Augmentin's a good one. You need Cipro, particularly if you have a urinary tract infection. And then Phenergan. All these are prescriptions, and you're going to have to talk to your doctor. Tell him what you're doing. Tell him you're going to be gone a long time, and you know what antibiotics for virtually anything you'll encounter. You know, there are 3 or 4 classes of antibiotic, and he'll prescribe the one he thinks you need. But you need to take those with you, because you may need them before you can get a prescription filled. We found on the loop, it's very hard to find a drugstore to do these things, particularly one of the name brand, all these little ports like Oxford we're in now, they don't have Rite Aid or Walgreens or any of that. And you kind of hit or miss on getting them. And that's why you need to take them with you. And so I think your doctor, you sit down with your doctor and he'll write those types of medicines for you.
Okay, good. What about for trauma, for first aid?
Yeah. One of the things we've learned, Steve, from our survey is there's more trauma going on than there is a medicine. Now, a number of those medicines I mentioned are used in when you have trauma, like the analgesics. You take those when you're in pain. But anyway, there's some things that you need to deal with particularly open wounds or wounds that are the problem with marine life is salt water and fresh water are teeming with bacteria, both of them. I used to think when I was growing up that in Charleston just salt water is fine. Salt water is terrible. And so is fresh water. They've got all sorts of bacteria in them. And so when you hurt yourself, skin, puncture wound of any kind, laceration, you're going to need to clean it out. And you need the betadine I already mentioned and the alcohol I already mentioned. And if it's somebody else and you're trying to help them, don't forget to put on those non-sterile gloves just to avoid the contamination that either you could give them or they could give you. And so non-sterile gloves. You need Band-Aids for trauma, with minor trauma, and just get a big box of the big variety of Band-Aids. You need a good big box. By big box, I mean, 2 inches by 4 inches, something like that. The box of Johnson 4x4s, those are the pads, gauze pads to put on a wound. If you've got a really big wound, instead of paying a lot of money for big sterile bandages, Larry Rainey, when we were giving these talks at the rendezvous, reminded everybody that you can get much cheaper a big box of menstrual pads, and those work just as well as anything you pay a lot more money for. And those you just put on something that's bleeding a lot, and you wrap it up with 2-inch Johnson & Johnson cloth tape, which you can buy at any grocery store. Now, one of the things we've learned is that there are a lot of sprains out here on the loop and just cruising, and so you need a couple of rolls of the ACE 2-inch wrap, which again you get at the grocery store. Now, for trauma, and this is trauma, splinters are trauma, and you need is a good pair of tweezers. You might need some magnification. You can get some loops relatively inexpensively that you wear around. You need a good light. Headlamp works well. But tweezers first. If you can't get the splinter out with tweezers, put some alcohol or betadine and get some 18-gauge sterile needles. Those are just the right size. You could buy those again at a drugstore or online, and you dig out that splinter with that needle, and you can do it more or less painlessly. But it's important to get the splinter out because, as I said, if it went in an environment where there's bugs, you don't want it in there because the foreign body along with the bacteria, it means you get infected. Another thing that went along with the sprains is a heat-cold pack. And again, you could buy those at any store. You can heat them up or you can cool them off. And whether you need heat or cool, the same pad will do. And get one of those. Probably you need a Sam Splint, which again you can get online or some drug stores, and that's just a piece of plastic that's moldable that immobilizes. So any, if you've broken your wrist, for example, like Jenny recently did, you could.
Oops.
Yeah, that was bad. It wasn't on the boat. It was on land. Bad things happen on land too. Anyway, you immobilize it, and you need duct tape. Duct tape is used to wrap, say, that splint, or to put some of the bandages on. If it's really a big bleed, you could just wrap it in duct tape. And until you can get to a emergency room or doctor, but that's the big thing. But so those are the kind of items for trauma. If I've left anything off, you know, you can ask me a question. But that's what I think you need to be prepared for to handle the skins and breaks, things of that kind.
That kind of leads to the question of, should I make my own medicine chest, or should I go out and find one commercially that has everything we need in it?
Well, very good question. Because if you've done any, if you've been into West Marine or even any drugstore, you'll find commercially available kits. And they have a lot of what you need, and actually, I until I priced everything, I thought they were kind of expensive. But I just priced everything I said that we are going to need, and my list, and they realize this comes with some big volumes of things, more than you need. But you know, that's the way you get them, a box of say. 18 gauge sterile needles. That's $13. But anyway, so the answer is, I think one of their comprehensive kits has most of what you need. But I put together a list of the things we have that Dr. Rainey and I, when we've talked, said you'd need a board. And including a Norchill soft side 24 can or bottle cooler bag, you know, which is padded, that's $30 alone to put it all in. I have a list here of items that comes to $210, and that's more than the most expensive commercial kit. But it's got everything you need, and I don't know if you want me to go through it, but we've got time, so maybe I'll just tell you what's in our $210, including the 24-pack cooler bag. You need Ziploc bags to organize things. You need that Johnson & Johnson cloth tape I've talked about. You need a good pair of stainless steel trauma shears. Again, you could get those online or at a drugstore. Hand sanitizer, rubbing alcohol, we've talked about eye wash, menstrual pads, the eyedropper. You need a digital thermometer if you don't have one. And that's just to make it quicker and easier. The non-sterile gloves, we've talked about. The ACE bandages, we talked about. Duct tape. Q-tip box. You need Q-tips to do a lot of things. Tongue blades, very versatile. You can use it for putting on, for using your, for caulking your boat, and you can use it. You can use it to look at what they're meant for, looking in the mouth. But it's particularly good for splinting fingers or splinting small digits. And if you remember, Larry Rainey said you put a bunch of them together with a tape at one end, and it's great for a no-hands nosebleed stopper.
Yeah, I remember the picture of him with that.
Yeah, that's great. Vaseline. Vaseline is actually a wound dressing, and it has numerous other uses, but that should be in your kit. Sam Splint, the 4x4s, the heat cold pack, and you need a blood pressure cuff. And so all of that, if you have to buy it new, now a lot of that you already have, and you just buy the package, you put it all in there, and then it's a lot less money. But if you went out, didn't have anything at home, and put that kit together, it's going to cost you around $200. But it's comprehensive, and it's got everything that you should need for this trip.
Gary?
Yes.
If it's all at all possible, if you've got that written somewhere, if you could email it to me, I'll put it in our frequently asked questions so people can reference it.
I have it, and I'll and I've even got a little picture of the bag.
That'd be fantastic. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll do that. Just send me an email. Remind me, because I'll forget.
Sure.
The question came to mind while we were talking about some other stuff is, how available are things like the not emergency rooms, but the doctor care?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that has truly surprised me about the survey that the Great Loop is doing with us is that 40 to 50% of people end up, I think they end up going to a doctor, and about a quarter of those people end up going to an emergency room, which means there are really important things going on. So, Steve, how you know which doctor to go to, or if it's a real big emergency, like at home, you know, you go to the emergency room. The problem is you're out at sea, and it's going to take a while for you to get back in to get there. Coast Guard can help with that if it's life-threatening. If not, you're on your own. And so the emergency room is for the big things. And then how you find a doctor to take care of is something that needs to be seen, evaluated. But, I mean, well, one of the people we've been traveling with had broke a tooth, wanted to see a dentist, and dentist wouldn't see her. And so that's when we thought that, and we had talked a little bit about this at the rendezvous, is one of the things that Janice or you might do with the harbor host is have them put together a little list of doctors in their community that they know are good, and hopefully that with a recommendation from them that would see one of us that's out cruising. Because there is no, you know, want ad. I mean, the want ads are there, but you don't know who's good. You don't know who to go see. And emergency rooms are good for any emergency, but it's overkill for a lot of what you're going to need. But that's a good question, and I think it's something that the association can work on perfecting a way. I've got some ideas to make that easier for people, because it really is, you're out of luck, as we saw with this friend who had the tooth and couldn't get anybody to see her.
Okay. What reading material should we carry to help deal with some of these problems?
Well, Dick, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I still think their first aid manual, which is now very different than the one that... Were you in the Boy Scouts, Steve?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, well, you remember those. But they're now bigger, and they're prettier, and they got all kinds of beautiful pictures in them. But the first aid manual by the Boy Scouts, which you get at Amazon, is very good. Then there's the American College of Emergency Physicians, that also at Amazon, a little more detailed, a little more comprehensive, that it's quite good. That's again available on Amazon. And then in all the West Marines, usually you, and in many of the other websites that sell Marine supplies, you can get Weiss's book, Weiss and Jacobs' book on, entitled A Comprehensive Guide to Marine Medicine. Now that book, it came from Wilderness Medicine, and they kind of made it for marine as for boating as well, and so there's a lot of wilderness stuff in there, but and it's very detailed. It's 200 and some odd pages in fine print, and so it's like it says, it's comprehensive. It's got about everything you can encounter, plus a lot of exotic things that hopefully you'll not encounter. But that's a good source. And then you can, in today's computer age, you can Google whatever your problem is and go to a reputable like WebMD and see what they recommend. And then finally, it occurred to me that our survey on the Great Loop site, if I'm looking now at motion sickness, and if you go on the Great Loop Association website and look at the medical survey and say my problem is, say, motion sickness, and it's got a number of remedies for motion sickness, ginger, scopolamine, patch, Benadryl, Dramamine, prescription medicines, fluids. Even if you're really severely dehydrated, we ask if you have treated yourself with a fluid enema, since you can't keep anything on your stomach. You have to put it in a different route. So, you know, you can find common treatments to common problems on the Great Loop website. So there are any number of references for this. Now, let me say the survey wasn't meant for treatment, but it does have treatment there and options, and they're all medically approved by a panel of us that put that survey together.
How do I know when I'm sick enough or injured enough to get off the boat and go see somebody?
Now, there are a number of things that you don't fool around with, Steve. A severe chest pain, for example, it could be a heart attack, could be something else. But, you know, that's when you go to the emergency room. Difficulty of breathing can be life-threatening. If you can't get good breath in for whatever reason, that's another time you need to know you need to get off the boat. If you have lasting 2 minutes or more fainting, sudden dizziness, weakness, changes in vision, difficulty speaking, confusion, unusual behavior, can't walk, that could be a stroke, and that again is something that you need to get evaluated as soon as possible. If you have sudden severe pain anywhere, that's not anything that you should probably be treating yourself with. I mean, that could be anything, but it needs to be evaluated. It could be bad things. So if it's a very unusual, or you've never had it before and it's very painful, go get it worked up. Uncontrolled bleeding, and bone fractures and burns, all that requires medical help immediately. Severe, persistent vomiting or diarrhea, those two things lead to dehydration, and that can lead to something really terrible. So you just need, you need to get that taken care of. And finally, hopefully this wouldn't happen to anybody, but if you're getting suicidal, you know, if things have really gotten that bad, usually it's not from the boating, it's an underlying psychiatric problem, then of course you need to go get take therapy there, and that's emergent as well. So those are the big ones. Drowning, if you drown or someone, meaning went underwater and breathed in the water and got resuscitated, you got to go get seen right away, even if you think you're fine. Go to the hospital for that.
Okay, good. And I know you've talked about it a couple of times, but you know, maybe we can give folks some more information on the survey in the members section. You know, I know that ultimately the intent is to come up with a better understanding of what happens to people long-term cruising. But
we'll get to your frequently asked questions and some answers to those. But ultimately, Steve, as you know, when we started the research project, we want to put together probably ultimately maybe a book or a pamphlet anyway that is experiential in nature. That means it's based on things that you know are happening because you actually have data. Right now, the Weiss book and none of those, they're just full of any possibility, and we're going to know what's happening and what's happening with what kind of frequency and be able to put together information that will ultimately be in a very readable form and probably electronic as well, that helps boaters as they go out. Because the problem with boating and injuries and illnesses, you can be out and not available. It's not like being at home and you can call 911 or you can go to your doctor. It's different, and so you need to be prepared differently, and that's what this is all about. And I think the Great Loop Association is playing a major role in helping people be better prepared.
That's great. Thanks, Jerry. We talked before the show started. Probably in a couple of months we'll have Jerry back, and he'll give us some feedback on what's going on with the survey. So we'll let you know when that's scheduled. And next week, Mark Coles from Boating Georgian Bay is going to be on again. We only got about halfway through the last time. So he's going to be talking about Georgian Bay and the North Channel and boating in Canada. So that should be a good session. It was the last time, and we'll just continue on with Mark's stuff. And I think that's it for today. We're a little bit over time, but not too bad. So we'll talk to you all next week. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye.
Bye-bye.